over the years. I appreciate him being part of this camp meeting. I know he'll be going on. They're going to be starting at Greer Baptist Camp Meeting, and he moderates down there. And I'm glad God can be in both places at one time. And we pray that God will do a work in those meetings. But I'm glad he's been able to be with us these two nights. I want you to hear him gladly. He'll preach to you the Word of God. My, how he challenged us to pray like old Gideon last night. Glad I can bow on that sacrifice of a lamb. Hallelujah. Brother Joe, preach to us. Carry Amen. Out the service.
Thank you, my brother. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 15 in the book of Exodus. And didn't you enjoy that good message by our brother? Praise God. And enjoy the good specials. And enjoy the good choir singing. And I like it when Jordan gets on that organ and does that zing, 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 zing. Ah, boy, I like that. I'm from Atlanta, dude. You know I like it, praise God. And it has been our joy to be here again. I was telling Brother Steve, the first time I came here was 20 years ago this week. And we've been coming off and on for 20 years. And if somebody asks you to preach for them one time, that is a great honor and a blessing. And they ask you again, it's a great honor and blessing. They ask you that many times, wow. That tells me something. He don't know many good preachers. God bless his heart. But I thank you for letting me come back again. And I love camp meeting. I preach a lot of different venues, but this is my heritage, and I love it. And I like old-time camp meeting. Before there was ever a mega church, God's people were meeting by the hundreds, literally the thousands, in places just like this. And it's part of our heritage. It really is. It's part of our heritage. And there's a lot of people today trying to shake off their heritage. I like it. I want some more of it. I'm burning the candles at both ends, trying to raise up another generation that'll like it. And it encourages my heart to see these young people at camp meeting. And I praise the good name of the Lord. Enjoyed everything. And I'm glad, praise God, the best is yet to come. There's a preacher coming after me named Dr. Phil Hoskin. If you never heard him, he is a real man of God. And you'll enjoy his preaching. I wished I could hear the rest of those messages that Brother Gillum's going to bring, because they will be preached again. Hallelujah. You said, I've never preached anything I got from anybody else. Hell is full of liars. And if it's worth somebody preaching, praise God, preach it again. Amen. And the Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, say amen. There's Wolfpack fans here. I heard you. God bless you. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
God is so good. Brother Rule, I love you too. I appreciate that, man. I preached here one time and I felt like I struck out. I feel like that all the time. But I really felt bad that night, and I walked over and I was wanting some sympathy. And I said, Brother Rule, I think I struck out. He said, Joe, if you don't never win another race, you're still my horse. I said, what's that supposed to mean? He said, you don't want to know. Woo! I'm glad God's people can have a good time tonight. Turn to that person beside of you and say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Now I'll turn back around and say, what's your problem? Praise God. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 15. And we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 22. Exodus chapter 15, begin reading in verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and say this with me out loud, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. Say this with me. For they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. The Bible says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. I have written in the margin of my Bible, business is about to pick up. And I'm glad business picks up when we cry unto the Lord. And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, say this with me, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Verse 27, and when they came to Elim, say this with me, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70, which is 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. There are four particular phrases tonight in the text that I want us to see. In verse number 22, you'll find the phrase, no water. In verse number 23, you'll find bitter water. Then in verse number 25, you'll find sweet water. And then in verse 27, you'll find what I call an abundance of waters. No water, bitter water, sweet water, an abundance of water. And you know, tonight, that is the spiritual story of our life. We had no water. We've been brought through bitter water. God has given us sweet water. And now we can encamp by the grace of God in an abundance of water. And you say, well, Brother Joe, how does God take a group of people from no water to an abundance of water? Well, I'm glad tonight between the no water and the abundance of water is a little tree. And there's something about that little tree that has the ability to take you from no water through bitter water to sweet water to an abundance of water. We come to our text tonight, and Israel is God's redeemed, delivered, emancipated people. They have just watched God deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. The first 20 verses of chapter 15 is the first recorded song in all of the Bible. Because as long as they were slaves in Egypt, there was nothing to sing about. But when God redeemed them by the blood of the Paschal Lamb and delivered them by the power of God, he gave them something to sing about. And so when you come to the first 20 verses, they're shouting, they're praising God. They're enjoying the blessings of God because they're God's redeemed, delivered, and emancipated people. And they're on their way to the promised land. But may I say this tonight, being redeemed, being delivered, being emancipated did not exempt them from going through the wilderness. Can I remind you tonight, the pathway to the promised land does not bypass nor detour the wilderness. They had to go through their wilderness. You say, what has that got to do with us? Well, we're God's redeemed, delivered, and emancipated people. We're saved and on our way to the promised land. In fact, we're so good for heaven as if we were already there, because John saw us in that number that no man could number. But can I say this to you tonight? The pathway from here to glory does not bypass, it does not detour, but it goes through the wilderness. Being saved, being emancipated, being delivered does not exempt us from our wilderness experiences. But I believe tonight that we can find in our wilderness what they found in their wilderness. For you see, in their wilderness, they found the presence of God. In their wilderness, they found the provisions of God. In their wilderness, they found the power of God. In their wilderness, they found the peace of God. In their wilderness, they even found the pardon of God. They found this out, that their geographical location did not diminish God's divine ability to meet their need. They found out in their wilderness that God was still God. I'm glad in our wilderness we can find the presence of God. We can find the provisions of God. We can find the power of God, the peace of God, and yes, even the pardon of God, because we're going to find out that our geographical location does not diminish God's divine ability to meet our need. It might be on a battlefield, but you are bumping to God. It might be on a stormy sea, but you are bumping to God. It might be in a prison cell, but you are bumping to God. It might be on the backside of the desert in a hot, dry wilderness, but standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. For a wilderness speaks of a place of necessity. It speaks of a place of danger, and it speaks of a place of trial. But yet in those places, we'll still find that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come to our text tonight, and they have entered in what I call a wilderness of disappointment. A wilderness of disappointment. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Well, notice the first 20 verses. Man, they're shouting it out. They got out their tambourines. They're having a hallelujah spell down by the banks of the Red Sea. They have just watched God annihilate their enemy. They have just watched God eradicate their past. They have just watched God do for them what they can't do for themselves. Man, they're saved. They're delivered. They're emancipated. They are redeemed. But yet all of a sudden, in 3 short days, according to the text, they find themselves in a place where there is no water. I see the wind as it goes out of their sail. I see the smile as it turns to a frown. I see the shouts as it cries out in despair. It's not supposed to be this way. Being redeemed, it's not supposed to be this way. Being God's chosen, emancipated, but blood-redeemed people, it's not supposed to be this way. I mean, Egypt is behind. Our problems are behind, and they are faced with disappointment. And you listen to me tonight. If you live in this real world long enough, you'll find yourself in places of disappointment. You say, preacher, I'm here tonight, and I've never been disappointed. Well, then you've never been married. You say, I've never been disappointed. You've never raised teenagers. I'm telling you, a child can go to bed perfectly normal and wake up on their 13th birthday drunk with stupidity. And you know, I'm telling it the truth. You say, I've never been disappointed. Then you've never had a job. You've never pastored a Baptist church. I take that back. You never pastored any kind of church. If you've never been disappointed, because because life is filled with disappointment. Sometimes you're disappointed in your health. Sometimes you're disappointed in your family. Sometimes you're disappointed in your career. And sometimes you're disappointed in your money. And sometimes life is filled with disappointment. And you know who disappoints me more than anybody else? The man you're looking at right now. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, although I've been disappointed in my family, in my friends, in myself, I have never been disappointed in Jesus. Because just in time, every time he shows up in the wilderness of my disappointment. Now, before it gets better, it gets worse, because the next verse says they leave the wilderness of disappointment, and then they come to what I call the wilderness of bitterness. Their disappointment comes into bitterness. Man, I see the euphoria as it goes through the camp. I see the sun as it glistens off of the little pools and the eddies of water. I hear it as it goes through the camp. Water ahead. Water ahead. But they found the first person that got up there to drink that water. The Bible said they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. And may I remind you, that word bitter used in your King James Bible is a word that means more than just something that tastes bad. It means poisonous water, contaminated water. In other words, if you drink it, it'll make you sick. And if you drink enough of it, it'll be nauseating. If you drink enough of it, you will die. And may I say to you tonight, if you live in the real world, you will drink your shares out of the bitter waters of disappointment. Sometimes life deals a bitter hand. Sometimes there's bitter days, and there's bitter waters, and there's bitter nights. There are some things that are sickening and nauseating and bitter to a child of God. I'm telling you, when that daughter runs in and flings herself in the arms of her father and says, "Daddy, I'm pregnant," and she's not married, that is bitter. When that son walks in and says, "Dad, I'm turning my back on the church and on the way I've been raised, and I'm going to embrace the homosexual lifestyle," that is bitter. When you go down to the job and they look at you and say, "Hey, we don't need your services anymore," and you don't know how you're going to feed your family and pay your bills, that is bitter. And you're sitting there in that doctor's office and he looks across that table and he uses the C word. You got cancer and it stage 4. It is a bitter thing. When you're down at that funeral home in what they call the selection room, and you're picking out a casket to lay somebody in that you love more than life itself, it is a bitter place. When you're out there at that cemetery and they lower your loved one in the sod and they pack that dirt on top and you walk away, it is a bitter thing. Life is filled with the bitter waters of disappointment. But as Paul Harvey says, page 2, here's the rest of the story. God's people don't die drinking out of the bitter waters of disappointment. For God stepped in the middle of the nowhere, and God gave them a tree in the middle of nowhere, and God took the bitter and made it better. He took the sour and made it sweet. He took the polluted and made it pure. He took the contaminated and made it clean. You say, "What has that got to do with us?" I'm glad standing somewhere in the middle of our wilderness is a God that will step through and a God that will break in. And in spite of how bad it tastes and smells and seems, he can take our bitter and make it better, our sour and make it sweet, our contaminated and make it clean, our polluted and make it pure, because there's a tree on a hill called Calvary that has the ability to put the sweetness in our soul again. You say, what could be so significant about a little old tree that would have the ability to take that old bitter and make it better? I'm glad you asked. Are you ready? Number one, it was and it is a revealed tree. It was and it is a revealed tree. Notice what the text says. And the Lord showed him a tree. Did you know tonight that tree was there before they got there? That tree was there before they ever got out of Egypt. That tree was there before they ever realized they had a problem. You say, how did the tree get there? Like all trees got there. One day God the Father is in a creating mood, and he's scooping out oceans, and he's heaping up mountains, and he's tracing down rivers. He's thumping stars and lightning moons and shining suns and blowing breezes and forming clouds, and he's planting flowers, and he's planting grass, and he gets in a tree planting mood, and he starts planting trees, and he plants one right here, and one of the cherubim says, Father, why plantest a tree here? And the eternal sovereign God of heaven said, here's why. I can see what you can't see. I know what you don't know. Down the road are going to be my people. They're going to have a problem they can't solve. They're going to have a disease they can't cure. So when they get there and they need it, there'll be a tree. They don't know it's there, but I'll open their eyes and I'll show them the tree. I want to say happy day when the Holy Ghost opened my eyes and showed me the cross. Open my eyes and show me the tree. It takes God to save a sinner. And aren't you glad one day God opened our eyes and showed us the cross? In fact, Jesus died for my sin before I ever arrived. Jesus died for my sin before I was ever a pleasant thought in the mind of my father or my mother. So therefore, all that time I spent lost, I could have been saved and didn't know it. I could have been redeemed and didn't know it. I could have been adopted and didn't know it. I could have been emancipated and didn't know it. And brother, I still wouldn't even know it tonight. But one night God opened my eyes. Wow. And I saw the tree. I want to say at the cross where I first saw the light. I wonder if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight. You're glad for that day when God opened your eyes and showed you the tree. It is a revealed tree. My mama shouted about it. My daddy preached about it. They tried to tell me how good it was, but I was blinded in 2 Corinthians 4 by the God of this world. But then one evening, he took that heavenly Holy Ghost high-powered searchlight and said, and shine it into my soul. And what I saw was sickening. I saw myself a sinner, a half a heartbeat from hell, lost and undone with that God or his son. But my God Almighty, it didn't stop there. It kept on shining till it fell across a hill. And on top of that hill was an old rugged cross. And the Holy Ghost led me to Calvary. I'm glad he opened my eyes. I'm glad he opened my eyes. It was and it is a revealed tree. Woo! Praise God. I enjoyed that so much I'm going to get me another. You say, what's so good about that tree? Well, it was and it is a single tree. Notice what it said in the text. And the Lord showed him a tree. Not nine trees, not six trees, not four trees, not even two trees, a tree, a particular tree.
a certain tree, a special tree. And in the mind of God, the only tree. You say, Brother Joe, you've lost your mind. You got to have one before you can do that. But you say, Brother Joe, you've lost your mind. Don't you know that was more than one tree? There was probably hundreds and thousands. It may have been. But I'll tell you this. It was the only one that could take the bitter and make it better. And the sour that could make it sweet. And can I say to you tonight, there's one faith. There's one Lord. There's one Savior. There's one Lamb. There's one cross. There is one blood. There is one sacrifice. There is one way. There is one door. There is one shepherd. There is one vine. There is one potter. There is one father. There is one Savior. And Jesus is his name. He's the one and he's the only one. In fact, that day when Jesus died on Calvary, there were three trees on Calvary's hill. And on this tree hanged a God-hating, God-despising, reprobate sinner. He was so close to hell, he's a-talking like it. And he turned his head and said, if you be, can I say he ain't the iffy Savior, he is the izzy Savior. If you be, but boy, that was another thief on the other side. Said, ain't no if about it. He said, son, don't you realize that we're receiving the just reward of our deeds? This man hath done nothing amiss. And that old thief turned his bloody face and said, I like it. Lord, if you want to get his attention tonight, call him Lord. He's still the Lord. Always has been the Lord. And always will be the Lord. Someone said, Brother Joe, have you made Jesus Lord yet? Nope. And you ain't either. The Bible said that God hath made the same Jesus both Lord and Christ. I didn't Lord him and I can't unlord him. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember me. And notice what he said. When thou comest into thy kingdom, I ain't the sharpest rock in the box, but I got enough sense to know if you got a kingdom, then you must be a king. This dude over here saying, if you be, and this one saying, you are. I know you're a king, and I know you got a kingdom, and in a little while you're going. I don't know when it is, but when you do, take me with you. Remember me. And Jesus, from that middle tree, turned his head away from that cussing thief and turned his bloody face towards that repentant thief. He said, you know, son, you said when, and you didn't know when, but whenever it is, you know when. Well, how about today? Thou shalt. Woo! He said, you want to know when? How about right now? Today, that shalt be with me in paradise. And let me say this, if you don't think a trip to Calvary will make the difference in 1 millisecond, this thief was a half a heartbeat from hell, and the next millisecond he's hand in hand with Jesus going down Paradise Street, Glory Hallelujah Boulevard. I can see somebody run into that thief and say, hey thief, how did somebody like you ever get in a place like this? I believe that thief would say, I'm with him. There was no redemption on any of those trees, but that one tree in the middle. And may I say to you tonight, any other way is the wrong way. Any other door is the wrong door. Any other Savior is the wrong Savior. It's the blood. It's the Lamb. It's Jesus. It is a single tree. Woo! I endured so much, I'm going to get me another. Number three, it was and it is a miracle tree. You say, well, what is so miracle or miraculous about it? Well, notice where it is growing. I'm going to use an old southern word. I've been preaching to Yankees lately, and I love them. They don't know how to talk, and they don't know how to cook, but I love them. I was preaching in Michigan the other day. They said, well, Brother Arthur, praise the Lord, my friend. What a message tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I preached the next week in Mississippi, same sermon, and it's so bullshit. Oh, that's a good preacher. That's a good preacher. That's a good preacher right there. God, that's good right there. My God, that's good right there. I think they said the same thing. Here's a good old southern word. You ready? Smack dab. Aren't you glad you come from a part of the world that knows where smack dab means? And if we got the Yankees that slipped in, let me tell you where smack dab is. It's right over there, brother, right over there. You say, where is smack dab? In the same vicinity as here. And there. And yonder. Aren't you glad one day God showed up in the middle of your smack dab? Notice where it's growing smack dab. Right beside bitter waters. Guess what grows by bitter waters? More bitterness. Guess what grows by pollution? More pollution. Guess what grows beside contamination? More contamination. But what a miracle. Here's a tree that is in the wilderness, but not of the wilderness. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. It's smack dab in pollution, but it's not polluted. Woo! You say, what has that got to do with us? Aren't you glad 2,000 years ago, bless God, smack dab, right in the middle of depravity and pollution and iniquity and wickedness, God sent His Son that's pure and holy and impeccable and undefiled and separate from sinners. Woo! My wife was expecting our first child. We'd never gone through anything like that before. And my nerves stayed tore up. I just knew one Sunday morning in one of my deliveries, she was going to have her delivery. And here's how you know if you are a redneck. A woman can live with a man for 9 months expecting a child. Come in one day breathing heavily. Sweating profusely, looks and says, Bubba, it's time. And like a deer in a headlight, he goes, time for what? Hello? And I'll tell you another thing. Them $40 you spend on them breathing classes, that's a waste of time and money. Let me say to you old timers, that when your wife was having the baby, you got to wait in the waiting room and give cigars to your buddies. Let me tell you something. It ain't that way now. We have to go back there. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever go back there, you know you've been back there. And if you survive from being back there, you don't want to go back there. Paid that stupid $40 and got my dummy. I ain't talking about my wife now, but got her and the dummy. And tried all that breathing stuff. Finally, the day came. We took her to the hospital. We went back there. And like a caring husband, I leaned over that bed and I said, now take it easy. Breathe. She said, shut your stinking mouth. Just give us. And I got mad and put my foot down. Don't you look at me like you don't believe what I'm preaching. Just because she's from Wilkes County don't mean she don't get in subjection once in a while. I said, do you want me back here or in yonder? She said, just shut your stinking mouth. Wasted that $40. Man, I bought every book I could find on conception and childbirth. I wanted to be ready. And the best book I read was by a medical doctor turned preacher named M.R. Dehan on the chemistry of the blood. He said when that baby is forming in the belly of its mother, that cord attached to the mother that's attached to that baby, fluids, vitamins, nutrients, strength, and energy goes through that cord, but not one drop of blood passes from that mama to that child through that cord. He said we have bone marrow in our bones that manufacture our own blood. It comes from the male side of the conception. That's why when a woman marries a man, she drops her last name and takes on the last name of her husband, because literally her children have his blood pulsating through their I'm glad Jesus had an earthly mother, but he had a heavenly father, and the blood that pulsated through the veins of Emmanuel is pure blood, holy blood, impeccable blood, sinless blood, precious blood, saving blood, powerful blood. It was and it is a miracle tree. Woo! I got to hurry. Number four, think about this. It was and it is an afflicted tree. Man, before it can take the bitter and make it better, it's got to be pierced, wounded, afflicted, cut off out of the land of the living. I see Moses as he takes his place at the foot of the tree. And I want to say, young guns, business is about to pick up. Can I say that again? Business is about to pick up. When Moses takes his place at the foot of the tree, and can I say tonight, you're bitter, I get a whole lot better when you'll take your place at the foot of the tree. And I'm glad the ground is level at the foot of the tree. Moses takes his knife, his sword, his machete, some type of cutting instrument, and he starts piercing and wounding and afflicting that tree. He drives it deeper, and he drives it deeper, and he drives it deeper. And about that time, he gets so deep that he opens up a sap line, and that little tree begins to bleed out of its side. What's going to take the bitter and make it better? Can I tell you tonight, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost God everything. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. I'm glad they pierced his hands and his side and opened up a fountain filled with blood that takes the bitter and makes it better. Amen. And he takes that last swipe of that tree and he severs it. He cuts it off. And the Bible said he cast it into the waters. You know why the streams are bitter? You know why the eddies are bitter? You know why the pools are bitter? Because the source, the fountainhead, where it gushes up out of the ground, is bitter. You know how that bitter got better? Moses went to the head of the problem. I believe I need to say that again. He went to the head of the problem. Aren't you glad old time salvation deals with more than symptoms? It deals with the solution. And when Jesus died upon Calvary, he dealt with the head of the problem. And that tree was literally submerged into the bitterness. And that brings me to this one. It was and it is a substitutional tree. Someone said, how did the bitter get better? Here's how. That old bitter water come gushing up out of that well. And when it came in contact with that open, bleeding, sappy side of that tree, That tree had the power. It pulled out the pollution, and pulled out the poison, and pulled out the bitterness, and what was in the water got in the tree. What was in the water got in the tree. You say, what has that got to do with us? He that knew no sin became sin for us. And when the Holy Ghost submerged him into your life, your sin left you and got on him, and he bled on it and he died for it. And you ask me why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. My sins are gone. They're swept away by the blood of the substitutional tree. Here's my last one. It was and it is a powerful tree. Because as soon as it touched, wham, the bitter got better. Someone said, when did I get saved? The very millisecond you realized you was a sinner and sided with God against yourself. Flung yourself at the mercy of the tree. Glory to God, I'm glad the power of the cross. What water baptism can't do, what church membership can't do, what turning over new leaves can't do, I'm glad, glory to God, one trip to Calvary, the magnetism of Calvary, it was a powerful tree, the bitter, the poison, the pollution, it was gone. Wait a minute, I do got one more. It was and it is a healing tree. Because God stepped in there nowhere and said, let me give you one of my other names I hadn't given you before. I'm not only Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai. He said, but I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in Greek and Latin and Hebrew and Georgia and North Carolina, here's what it means. I'm right for whatever is wrong in your life. I'm right for whatever is wrong in your life. Lord God, let me say it on this side. I'm right for whatever's wrong in your life. And aren't you glad when it's bad, when it's bitter? There's one who's right for what's wrong in our life. And say this in closing tonight. One of these days, a preacher's going to say in closing, and he's really going to mean it. One of my deacons said, preacher, don't say that. You say in landing. It's not an accident that your King James Bible used the word sweet. He could have said the waters were made clean. That's better than what they had. He could have said the waters were made fresh. That better than what they had. He could have said they were made anew. And that was better than what they had. But he said, sweet. You say, why sweet? Because there's something another about that sugar that will jack you up. All these people, my age and older this week, has been rubbing it in my face. We got grandkids. We got grandkids. We got grandkids. I can't help it if I got stupid kids. Say amen right there. I told Bubba and Sissy the other day, I said, by the time y'all get babies, I'm going to be in diapers with them. I told Judah the other day, I said, if they don't hurry, we're going to start over. She said, drop dead, sucker. You hear me? Remember that time I was preaching for Doug Cox? You come walking in about half late with little old baby Jordan. I said, good to have Brother Dagenhart and his grandson. Barbara didn't speak to me for 7 years. That's worse than the tribulation period, see? I want to be a grandpa. Bad. You know why? Because bless God, I want you to take time out of your schedule to look at my pictures. And I'm going to tell you, you had an album. I have an iPad. And I tell you something else I want to do. I want to bring them over at my house on Friday night. And feed them cotton candy. Snickers. Ice cream. Pour Coca-Cola down them by the gallons. And jack them up. And send them home with their mama and go, ha, 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 woo. I know God ain't in that, but it's got to be fun. Watch this and I'm done. 3 days in the wilderness, no water. And it doesn't tell us how long they were in the bitter waters in the wilderness. Would you agree with me about this time? They wore out. They can hardly go another mile, but they're too near home to turn back now. And so God gives them some sugar water. God gives them some sweetness. Woo! And it gives them just enough strength to change their address from 666 Myra Street to 777 Elam Boulevard. They're out of that no water. They're out of that bitter water. They're out of that sweet water. Now it is abundance of water. And they got the palm trees. And anytime you see palm trees, it's a picture of praise. This is deep. You know why they call a palm tree? Because its branches look like palms. Get your palms up. They say when that hurricane blows through Florida, it snaps them live oaks and it snaps them pines like toothpicks. But they say them palm trees survived the storm because they bow down with the wind. Woo! And when the wind quits blowing, it's like they get their palms up. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm a quitting. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on that little old donkey. And they ain't got their pine needles. And they ain't got their oak leaves. But Lord of God, they got their palm branches. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Need to get your palm branches up tonight. Come on. That'll help you right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to somebody and say, I feel a breeze. You say, when my bitter going to get better? Go ahead and lift your palm branches. Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for taking my old bitter and making it better. I'm telling you tonight, you may be drinking out of them old bitter waters of disappointment, but you don't have to die there tonight. God can move you over to a place of sweetness and praise. He can take your bitter. He can make it better. Let's stand tonight. If you need to pray, you need to love on the Lord a little bit, you just lift your branches. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Your bitter can get better.
as just a young boy. I remember we was in the altar of Poplar Springs Baptist Church in the old church. I remember is on the left side looking toward the pulpit. There's an altar. The church had gathered to pray. And right as the amen was said, I remember Uncle Butler Chapman standing up. And he went to singing at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my sin rolled away. That's been etched in my memory as a young boy till now. I hope I never forget it. I'm glad there was a tree that was put in the bitter waters to make it sweet. It's not about you and it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus did on Golgotha's hill. He shed his blood. He gave his life. Oh, he died in your stead and in mine. He suffered for you and for me the penalty of our sin and the righteous demands of a holy God. He took the brunt of punishment and pain that should have been mine. I'm glad for that tree where he died. Hallelujah! 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 For the cross, bless his name, say it. Has done for us. There's no greater preaching than that right there. No greater. I love to hear a man exalt Christ and live. lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You think it's loud down here? You just wait till we get up there. As Brother Mark said the other night, talking about the Lamb being mentioned in the book of Revelation 28 times, I believe in my heart that is the very picture we're going to see of the Son of God in eternity. We're going to see him as a lamb slain. Hallelujah. I bless his name. I appreciate the faithfulness of God's men. I want to say,